And stay tuned right now for those two characters of many characters, CBS Radio's Bob and Ray.
And now, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network. Oh, this final hectic week.
Oh, man, it's a real drag, isn't it, to get that last-minute shopping done, to think everything's done, and, boy, it's always something else.
And somebody remind you of a present that you hadn't purchased or some such. Well, you have a few more days, so get it all done.
You know, I have a terrible thing happen to me. Well, not terrible.
A horror.
Last week, I think, in 2 days... But I saw Russell Knight on the street twice. Now, I haven't seen Russell Knight for 7 or 8 years, and all of a sudden I think I see him twice. What's the matter with that?
Well, now let's...
So I'm in a department store, and I am on a street corner.
You know, I have another problem.
Have you seen him?
The meat to my house. I've seen him 3 times this week.
Well.
And his thumb almost 4 times. So that scares me even more. So I don't know whether to go to a doctor or what about it.
Gets me worried, that's all.
All of the meat man looks like a big thumb.
But he's
like
more pleasant this time of year.
Yeah.
I mean, he smiles with the thumb on this thing.
Yeah.
We're looking here through the Bob and Ray telescope.
Oh, isn't it beautiful tonight?
What a beautiful picture window we have here that overlooks the old town. And
we've got our automatic telescope set at number 3.
That, number 3, is a view of the Burke Building. And at the moment, Ray is looking through the eyepiece. What do you see as dusk begins to close in on that fine old office building?
Well, I'm just looking through one of the windows. I see an office over there, a lot of people, and it looks like a party. And there's a man standing on a chair.
Maybe you ought to investigate that, huh?
I did a little.
All right, look, let's have a little quiet here. Come on. Now, if you want me to make a speech, you'll have to quiet down.
All right, come on, a little quiet, gang. Mr. Fenton can't talk over all this racket.
Thank you, Don.
Stand, Mr. Fenton.
Now, you know how I feel about this crew. If you don't, let me tell you, you're a pretty wonderful bunch.
Oh, thanks.
When Mr. Swimsey put me in charge of the New York office here some 6 years ago...
4 years ago, Mr. Fenton.
Thank you, Stan.
Steve Unger.
I had my doubts about many things. But as we got to know each other at a personal level, as we worked together in close contact, I began to understand that my fears were groundless. Yes. When I walked into this office in 1955,
Mr. Fenton.
Thank you, Steve. At any rate, it's been a warm, warm experience for me working with you. And I can only say what I said before. You're a pretty wonderful bunch.
Wow.
And I'm proud of everybody in this room. But most of all, I'm proud of me. Because I had the good sense to get to know and like you.
Hey! Yeah, pretty wonderful guy yourself, Mr. Fenton.
Well, thank you, Wanda. Now I've...
Hey, people, knock it off. Mr. Fenton's got more to say, I think.
thank you. And now I have a surprise for you. Each and every one of you is going to get a chance to talk to J.T. That is John Taylor Swimsey.
Each and every one of us.
Woo-hoo. You see, Mr. Swimsey feels as I do. If you want to keep an employee happy, well, by George, be a personal and warm friend of that employee.
Woo-hoo.
That's fine. Now, who has the exact time?
I set my watch this morning, Mr. Fenton. It's exactly 6:14.
All right, well, thank you, Charlie. Now, at exactly 6:15, J.T. will be calling us from his home in Palm Beach. And he'll have a personal word for each and every one of you.
Fine.
But we'll have to hurry now. So line up, everyone now, in front of the phone, in alphabetical order.
Fine.
Quickly.
Fine.
Alphabetical order now. Make sure you're in your right places.
Okay. Over there, Eddie.
Mr. Patton, sir. Okay. I think we're all set. Yeah, we're all set, Mr.
Patton. All right, now the first man, when the phone rings, pick it up immediately. Listen to Mr. Swimsey's personal message. Then turn the phone over to the person behind you. The phone will be ringing in a second. So let's do this thing right, gang. Look, don't let me down.
Oh, boy.
First in line, pick it up. Go ahead.
Okay. Hello, Mr. Swimsey.
James Escoglia, I am not unaware of the contributions you've made this past year. Kindest personal warmth and regard.
Wow, thank you, Mr. Swimsey, and I'd just like to add...
Dennis Bentwater, I am not unaware of the contributions you've made this past year. Kindest personal warmth and regards.
I think he didn't hear me.
Come along now.
Oh, take it, Atwater.
Harvey Axelrod, I am not unaware of the contributions you've made this past year. Kindest personal warmth and regards.
Thank you, Mr. Swimsey. It's certainly...
Willis Bordeen.
Oh, Bordeen.
I am not unaware.
Ray, you suppose Swimsey is out sunning somewhere?
Well, that's what Palm Beach is for, Bob.
Well, I guess so. Well, it was a pleasant party, and we can put the telescope away for another day now.
Hoo-hoo. Hoo-hoo. What are we supposed to do here?
Well, on behalf of the Treasury Department and the Secretary of the Treasury, Robert B. Anderson.
Oh, come on, you're making that up, huh?
About what?
Robert B. Anderson?
No, look at the signature on your currency there.
Could you perhaps be mildly in error?
I don't think so, no.
It's not Jefferson B. Davis?
I don't believe not, no.
Well, you were starting to say, Bob.
Friends, on behalf of the United States Treasury, we'd like to recommend those new improved 3.75% interest United States savings bonds. They'll bring you $4 back for every three faster than ever.
Just a timely reminder from thoughtful Bob and Ray. In now. And now, brought to you as a sustaining feature of the Bob and Ray Show, One Fellas Family. Today's episode, entitled Wrapping the Presents, is taken from book XX. I, chapter VII, pages 112, and the bottom of page 113. It's late afternoon as we look in on the family now. Mother and father working about the dining room table.
Well, Freddy, we got most of them done anyway.
My goodness, Christmas. Wrapping and paper are much more colorful than they used to be.
Oh, we've come a long way in the art of wrapping packages, Daddy.
Yes.
Still problems with these unusual shaped items, though.
Think that just one little facet the way we progress. I can remember when most of it would be just tied in twine and a little sticker with Saint Nick on it. Don't open until Xmas. And that's about all. But now we have this paper with gold and silver.
It's a beautiful sight, certainly. And one will make your Christmas morning seem even more pleasant and beautiful.
Well, I'm going to get you a gift certificate for the dentist. Your teeth are slipping again.
Bernie, have you figured out how you're going to wrap Clifford's present?
Well, I'd love to disguise them somehow.
How are you going to disguise a pogo stick?
Well, I thought if I could put it in a box twice as long as a pogo stick. I have no idea what it would be.
Well, I look around, except we've used up most of
the... You going to try?
Yes, I'm sorry.
I don't think you should.
No, you're never too old for something like this, Fanny. Good exercise.
You're going to go straight up. Be careful.
You can't direct it. Well, right into the box of ornaments.
Now, are you hurt?
Here. No, I don't believe so. Here. But isn't Clifford a little too old for something like this?
Well, if he's too old, what were you doing on it? Land's sake.
Well, I suppose you're right.
Now, who's the one down cellar that...
Jack.
Because we get the odor of malt every once in a while from under the cellar door.
What could we give him?
I have no idea. I thought maybe you could think of something.
Well, something to go with his hobby, I suppose, would be...
Well, how about some sort of a... sort of a tax stamp thing that he could put on his product?
You know, I bet he's never thought of that either.
I think they have counterfeit their tax stamps. Machines, that is, where he could make his own stamp.
I'll go downtown and see if I can find the store that sells that.
Yeah.
You have been listening to One Fellow's Family, brought to you as a sustaining feature on the Bob and Ray Show. Today's episode, entitled Wrapping the Presents, was taken from book XXII, chapter VII, pages 112, and the bottom of page 113. One Fellow's Family is written and produced by T. Wilson Messey. This is a Messey production.
In our studio today is a gentleman we're going to talk to in a minute or so, one of the great songwriters of all times, and in particular, a fellow who has come up with some real big hits for Christmas. And while he is trying to get ready to well, I thought maybe you'd like to refresh your memory a little bit while we...
Look, you just try to say you got a commercial and you want us to wait.
Well, we have a word, a very important word here, and it concerns...
All right.
Every year, some Christmas celebrations are ruined by fire. You know, a little precaution can prevent a Christmas fire from happening in your home. First of all, make sure your tree is on a firm foundation so it can't fall over. And then use only approved lighting. Wiring that's sprayed may be dangerous. Replace it. Never use lighted candles. Let all the glow of Christmas come from within, not from fire. With a safe Christmas plan, here's an idea for Christmas giving.
Almost Christmas, no time to lose. Lots and lots of gifts to choose. Give him,
give her,
a gift that's a yardie.
For him, a wide range of all new gifts from $1.50 to $10. A combination of aftershaving lotion and invisible cap, only $2.50. All prices plus tax. Yardie.
Give him,
give her,
a gift that's
Yardley. Say, folks, here in the audience, who do you think of when I sing Hippity Hoppity Right Down Christmas Lane?
Oh, that's Jolly Lester.
Jolly Lester, right. He's here at our microphones again this year, ladies and gentlemen.
Good to be back this gay holiday season. Hi, Bob and Ray.
I think I recall some wonderful memories when I did that one line of one of your greatest hit songs.
Hippity Hoppity Right Down Christmas Lane.
I guess you get a lot of requests for that when you're playing in nightclubs. And...
Yes, I do. And, of course, not too timely when I'm playing there in the summer, but they all want to hear it. I got one this year I think it's going to be pretty good.
What's that?
Rudolph's nose ain't red this year. He's on the wagon now.
Hey, that's catchy.
Rudolph's nose ain't
How
red.
How come now, Charlie, that you've never written anything but Christmas songs?
Well, I have. I wrote a Labor Day song.
Oh, it's just holiday songs.
It's all holiday songs. I leave all the love songs and ballads and some... Sam and Janet evening songs.
Did you hear that, sir, when I said it on the radio?
Yes, I did. It was very good. Very good. Enjoyed it very much.
So the big one from your pen this year is Rudolph's nose ain't as red this year.
He's on the wagon now.
All right. Any others?
Now, I see you're getting a signal to wrap it up. You're running out of time.
Is that so?
Yes.
I didn't realize time had gone by so fast. Thanks for dropping by, Charlie.
Well, thank you.
For you, February 22nd. Washington's Day song. And we'll have the sound of the bird of the week in just 10 seconds.
Here's the bird of the week. Till tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
This is the CBS Radio Network. And...